Well, thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church. You're about to hear from Pastor James Strickland. Now, if you want to find out more about us, you can check us out online on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. And we're having a free yard sale going on today, so be sure to check the website, get directions, and get out there. Yes, everything's going to be free. So check out the website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. Now, I want to talk to you about something serious, something very serious. I heard a preacher tell a story once about how he was trying to tell his teenage daughter, you know, about God. And she was at that age where she just didn't want to listen. She wanted to live her life. And anyway, as the story goes, they were walking down the side of the street and a car full of drunk guys was driving by. And they started shouting obscenities and evil, rude things to her and about her. And she turned to her dad and says, I don't like people like that. I don't want to be around people like that. That's just terrible. And her father said, well, honey, those are the kind of people you're going to be around in hell if you don't accept Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean just the wicked people are going to be in hell, because, of course, the Hitlers are going to be in hell, and the rapists are going to be in hell, and the murderers are going to be in hell, and the liars, and the bad, wicked people. But there will also be people that you wouldn't think were bad, wicked people. You would think they were good people, good moral people. But good morals isn't going to get you to heaven. There's one way to get to heaven, and only one. That is by putting your trust in God. You need to repent for your sins, stop doing the sins that you're doing, and put your full and complete trust in God. And maybe you've heard something that made you feel unworthy, or maybe somebody degraded you or put you down. But when you come to Christ, Christ says, you are worthy. You are something. You are special. I formed you in your mother's womb. You mean something. You have value. Well, today, that's what this message is about. It's about not feeling worthless. Here's Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. Again, online, you can find us at SharonBaptistConcord.com.
Turn with us, please, in your scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'm going to read one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And bring a message about weighing out worthlessness. Weighing out worthlessness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 13. Paul writes and says, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. You know, over the years, I don't know you can say that I've had the privilege, I don't consider that a privilege, but I've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of people over the years, and I meet people from time to time that they've been told so often that they're worthless. You're worth nothing. You'll never amount to anything. And after a point in time, these people begin to kind of buy into the fact, well, maybe I am not worth anything. Maybe I won't amount to anything. And so they just kind of buy into that horrible scenario, and they start living a defeated life. And many times the ones that I talk to from time to time have lived that way for years and years. Now, in the first century here, I read this verse where Paul's talking about the Corinthian Christians. The world in that day looked at the church and looked at the Christians as they were, he says here, offscouring of the earth and nothing more than just a piece of refuse. Now, in modern day terminology, that would say, the world saying to Paul and the Christians, you're nothing more than a piece of garbage. That would kind of be in terms we would use or understand today, wouldn't it? Has anybody ever told you you're worthless? You're worth nothing. You never amount to anything. Well, I trust and I pray that we haven't bought into that thinking, well, you know, really, I'm not worth much. When somebody tells somebody else that you're worthless, that's about as low as it can get, isn't it? It really is. That's the way the world looked at Christians and Christianity and Paul and others in that day. Let me ask you this. Do you think the world's estimation of the church or Christians today is any different than it was in Paul's day? What do you think about it? I think the world pretty much feels the same way toward us today as they did toward Christians and Paul in that particular day. If you kind of want something to kind of shore up what I've said, just listen around you. Listen to your news. Sometimes watch your news and listen here. You'll hear things about, you know, the church is not even relevant for today. The church is outdated. The Bible's outmoded. Jesus Christ was just a man. All kind of negative things trying to tell the church that you have no value today. You're just worthless as far as this world's concerned. And I hear things like, well, the church is just not with it. They don't understand modern day people. Oh, I understand modern day people better than they think I do. But nonetheless, they feel the same way toward us, don't they, today, as it did in the days that Paul wrote this. Well, do we believe it, what they say about us? Do we buy into it? Are we sometimes feeling like, well, maybe we're not worth much? Listen, the church is the world's only hope. Christ through His church is our world's only hope. How does this feeling affect us daily when we're told, like Paul and the others, says, we're being defamed, we entreat, we're made as a filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day? How do we feel when people talk about us like this? When they talk about the church today like this, talk about maybe your life or my life just like, how does it affect us? How do we sort these things out? How do we weigh these things out in the light of what God's Word says to us today? What does God say of us, of our worth? Maybe we'll look at it from God's perspective. God says in His Word, we're precious in His sight. God says we're the apple of God's eye. The Word of God tells us that we are His bride. We are His beloved. God says that one soul is worth more value than all the world's riches piled up in one huge pile. God loves us with an everlasting love. So, with all God's love on one side, we've seen just a bit and piece of that, and on the other side, we see all the world's animosity toward us and our hatred toward us and the way they feel to us. How in the world do you weigh all these things out? How do we cope with these things today? How do we incorporate all this into our daily lifestyles? When we're told we're worthless, we're like the offscouring of the earth, filth of the world. How does it affect us as an individual? How does it affect us as a church? How should we look at it? Let's look into God's Word a little deeper. Let's see if we can get some answers for the weighing out of the worthlessness that the world says about us. Three things I want to share with you. First of all, I want you to look at with me the horror of being told you're worthless. The horror. Has anybody ever told you personally, you're worthless? You're worthless. Have you ever seen these kind of thoughts surface in the church? I've seen these things surface in the churches. Worthlessness. What about on the job? Is somebody on the job where you might work sometimes told you you're worthless? We don't need you. We'd be better off if you weren't even working here anymore. What about in your family setting? What if somebody in your family has ever told you how they felt you were so worthless? It's horrible to be told that you're worthless. It really affects us. Whether we realize it or not, or whether we'll admit it or not, it does affect us, doesn't it? It affects us as individuals, and it affects us as churches. Let's look at it. The horror of being told you're worthless. How does it affect us as individuals, first of all? When you're told you're worthless, long enough, people begin to agree with whoever's telling them they're worthless, and they begin to say, well, maybe I ought to believe, maybe I really am worthless. They start just buying into that very thing. You know, I have counseled people over the many years. Some of them tell me things like this, Pastor, my dad told me I was worth nothing. My dad told me I'd never amount to anything. My dad told me I was worthless. I've heard this about fathers. I've heard this about mothers. I've heard this from brothers, and I've heard this from sisters. I've heard this from mates in marriage, husbands and wives. I've heard this from all kind of areas, being told that they were worthless. You know what it does to you as an individual when you're told you're worthless? It lowers your self-esteem, your value of yourself. It really affects our esteem. When you feel like that maybe you really are worthless, you're not worth much of anything. Well, and I said earlier, I meet people like this who have been told they're worthless so long that they have lived for years and years and years defeated lives. Beloved, listen, that's a horrible testimony, isn't it? Isn't that a horrible way to have to live? How you're affected individually when you're told you're worthless. So it affects us individually, doesn't it? But notice something else. It also affects us in our spiritual work in the church. I've heard this so many times. Please don't ever tell me this. It doesn't look good for you if you do, but I've heard it many times over these. Preacher, I'm just not worthy to do anything in the church. I'm not worthy to take on any kind of responsibility. I'm not worthy to do any kind of work for the Lord in the church. Listen to me. Listen to me. God makes you worthy to do anything God calls you to do. God will give you the ability to do whatever God calls you to do. If there was anybody ever unworthy to preach the gospel, I guarantee it's me. But over the years, God's helped me, you see. God's helped me to understand that I am not worthless. He's called me to preach, and He gives me the ability to do what He's called me to do. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you're worthless, that you're unworthy. Listen to me. God has no worthless children. Not a one. We're under construction, to say the least, spiritually. And He's not finished with us yet, but we're not unworthy because Jesus makes us worthy. We're not worthless, we're priceless. All God's saved people has the ability, God gives you the means and the ability to do a work for His glory. And I hope we can learn to start saying this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's Christ who does it through us. It's not us. It's Christ, but we can do anything that Christ calls us to do. So, you see, it affects us in our spiritual work if we're told we're worthless. It affects us in our individual lives if we're told that we're worthless. But I want you to see a second truth, not just the horrible scenario of being told you're worthless. I want you to see the hatred that comes from feeling worthless. It's there. You can see it. Many people have this self-hatred in their own life of feeling worthless. Now, this can be inward or it can be outward. Let's see the effects of it. The hatred that comes from feeling unworthy. First of all, notice this. Relationships individually suffer. A lot of marital counseling I've done over the many years, one spouse or another would come, they would sit down, and they would tell me their husband or their wife has told me I'm worthless. I don't amount to anything. They don't love me. Listen to me. Marriages divided cannot stand. Just like the Bible says, a house divided against itself cannot stand, neither can marriages divided among themselves. They cannot last. How many relationships today are in trouble because of this problem? Suffering from someone telling somebody else how worthless, how unworthy they are. I think that's part of the reason that we hear that the average marriage today only lasts 5 to 7 years. That's kind of shocking, isn't it? It ought to be, because when you have the marriage vows pronounced, you're promising before God and before your mate and before those who gather around you, the church or whomever, you promise till death do you part that you'll stay together. But you see how marriages, relationships individually suffer when someone is told how worthless and unworthy they really are. How many people are suffering today from that problem? But again, I want to go back to look at the church. Look how fellowships in churches suffer when hatred comes from one group of people or telling the other group they're not worth anything, they're not worthy. Listen, I refer many times to a church I pastored in another place where there were two groups of people that really didn't like each other. I never understood to this day why any of them stayed in that church. Neither one of them would leave. Neither one of them would get along with the other. One group's in control, this group is upset. That group's in control, this group's upset. Never would work together, almost like they hated one another. And that fellowship just really suffered. If you see in any church that kind of thing going on, I'll tell you what will happen. You'll see the spiritual welfare of that church plunge right to the bottom. You'll see a spiritual iceberg, if you will, in that fellowship. Someone or some group hating someone or another group, and then the other group feeling so helpless and worthless, and then they start buying into it. Well, fellowships, churches, are just stifled sometimes because of worthlessness feelings. I won't say this to us, and I would say this on Sunday morning if I had our church together. We have to be sure we guard this at all costs in our church, not to let this happen here, because you see, everybody here in this church is special to God. Everybody here, the Lord Jesus loves us with an everlasting love, and we must never forget that. But we have such a horror of hatred and worthlessness being told all around. Now, here, let me turn this way to this third thought. Is any help for those of us who have been told that we're worthless? Is there any help whatsoever? Is there any hope for someone who's been told they're so worthless and they have such low esteem of themselves? Can anything be done on their behalf to those who are in trouble individually, or to churches who may be in trouble for the same reasons? Those who on the job feel worthless and are really told they're unworthy, unproductive. Is any hope for them? What about those in marriages who are struggling to hold the marriage together being told they're worthless? Is there a way to get your self-esteem back if you ever lose it? Or are we just so-called labeled damaged goods and have to just live out the rest of our lives like that? I say no, 1,000 times no. So many people and churches I hear of today, and I speak to you because I ask us to pray for our sister churches. Churches are crying out for help. And people are crying out for help. Is there any help for them? Yes, there is. Let me share again from two perspectives. From the individual perspective and also from the church setting. First thing we've got to do is realize God only can give us the victory over this worthlessness or this unworthiness that we feel sometimes. And there are no miracle workers, if you will, that holds big conferences somewhere in some big coliseum and just tells you all these little things to do and just work out just fine because Jesus really loves you. You know, you just got to feel better about yourself. Those miracle workers don't work. Let me tell you what works. Only Jesus works. I can't fix anybody's low self-esteem. Please understand, I love you. I cry with you and pray with you and laugh with you and counsel with you, but I can't fix it. And we spend probably millions of dollars on counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists, and I'm not really negative against them in their own right, but they can't fix this problem. They can't fix it. I can't fix it. And listen, you can't fix it either. If it's in your own life, you can't fix it either. So, the first thing you got to do is realize that only God through Christ can give us the victory over it. And when you realize this, then we're all well on our way to getting help in that problem. Only God can fix it. Only God can make it whole again. Only God in Christ. With man, the Bible says, it's impossible. But with God, nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. Do we want the victory individually? I'd say we do. Do we want that victory corporately as a church? I'd say we do. Then we ought to thank God for it, because Paul said, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What must we do then so God can begin to work in this area in our lives? First of all, realize only God can give the victory. And then secondly, resolve to submit ourselves under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, we all here tonight, I'm sure, are saved. But it all begins, you see, with submitting initially and inviting Christ into your life as Lord and Savior and accepting Him. And then, after you accept Him, and it comes through salvation, we know that, but you still have to continue to submit to the Lord on a daily basis. Those who are struggling with life, who've never given their heart to Jesus, they're going to continue to struggle, and they're going to continue to struggle, and if they never get saved, they're going to die defeated without Christ. Well, you say, well, preacher, I've already given my heart to Jesus. Well, what do you do next? You learn daily, and we have to learn that as an ongoing lesson every day of our lives. We have to learn daily to submit ourselves to Christ's Lordship in my life. And as you do this, I'll tell you what will happen. When you do this, God will create in us a great spiritual certainty that we are worth something. You got to feel good about yourself in Christ, because you are worth more than the whole world. In fact, we are priceless in the sight of God. Then, you see, we begin not to hate those people who have maybe degraded us. Those who have defamed us, as Paul says, called us off-scouring of the world and called us like a piece of garbage, you're not worth a thing. Then we won't be resentful, you see, and hate them for the way they've treated us. Listen. Then when you can do that and submit yourself to the Lord, then you'll see your self-esteem just soar, just really soar to new heights that you've never known before. Our relationship at home, much better. Our relationships at church, much better. Our relationships on our jobs, much better. They'll be enhanced. They'll be energized with new life from above, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that sound exciting to you? It does to me. Does that sound like something that we need happen in our lives? I believe it is. I believe it worked for all of us. Then resolve now. We've already been saved. We do know that. Resolve ourselves to just get up out of our low state of self-esteem and get to the place of submitting ourselves to the Lord and start feeling worthy again. Not proud, not pride. Worthy, as God makes us worthy in Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus, like the old hymn says, come just as you are, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. Listen, I want to close with this. As much to me as it is to you, we can't fix it. I can't fix it. You can't fix it, but He can. So what I need to do? Come now. Come right now. And He'll take over, and He'll make us what He wants us to be, a servant that can be used to His honor and glory and praise. And hold up your head high. Doesn't matter what the world says about you. Doesn't matter what somebody else says about you. What does God say about you? You are priceless. And I love you, He says, with an everlasting love. Isn't that wonderful? Let's stand together. And Lord, I know that outside of Christ Jesus, we're nothing. We're spiritual zeros without Jesus, but when You save us, Lord, it makes us priceless. You went to the cross. You thought us worthy enough that you went to the cross to die for us. If you felt that we were worthless, it would have been in vain that you went to the cross, but you went to the cross willingly for us. So help us, Lord, not to allow this world, the devil, any demon, or anybody else tell us we're worthless, because we're not. We're worth Jesus Christ going to the cross and dying for my sins. So help me, Lord, today. Help our church today. Help those who may be struggling, those who may hear us and view us, who may be struggling with life, help them to know that only Jesus Christ can fix it. If they'll submit to Him, they will have the victory that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you for that victory for us today, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find us online at SharonBaptistConcord.com. And don't forget, we're having a free yard sale today, which means everything is free. So get out to our church. We're located at 2628 Shady Lane Avenue, right here in Concord, North Carolina. But we're located on the Kannapolis side of I-85. You can find out directions on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. Well, I don't know if you listened to that message or not, but I felt that way before. I felt worthless and unworthy and like I couldn't do anything, partly because people have told me that. You know, somebody told me once I would never, ever, ever find anyone that would ever love me, ever. And that hurt very badly. And for many months, I struggled with that. But I was listening to a person. I was listening to a person's opinion. I wasn't listening to God's opinion. God says that I am worthy. God says that He does love me. God says that He does have a plan for me. God has so much planned and in store for me if I will just follow Him and obey His commandments. That means to turn away from my sins, to give up all those things that I'm not supposed to be doing. And if you don't know what that is, you need to get in the Word of God. You need to get in your Bible, because you'll start to feel a tug. You'll start to feel a pull in your, I don't know how to explain it, your chest or your heart. Oh, I shouldn't be doing this. That's your conscience. And after time, we've dulled down our conscience. We watch things over and over. We get involved in things over and over that we know are not right. I mean, murder and rape and all this stuff on TV that we watch. And then we expect ourselves to be nice and strong on the streets in our own bodies. We watch all this. It's just like if you went up and you peeped in somebody's window, you'd be called a peeping Tom. But every day on TV, we peep while people do stuff that we shouldn't be watching. We should turn off the TV. We should turn off our Facebook. We should get our nose in the Bible. And we should find out what God wants for us. Because regardless of what happens in life, we've got God, but we've got to make sure that we have made a commitment to God. We need to be sure that we have given our whole life to God. We can't just take this as a guess, as a gamble. The Bible tells us very clearly how to know if we're in the faith and how to know if we're not in the faith. And if we take the time to read the Word of God, we could find out. But let me tell you right now, regardless of where you are, regardless of how you feel, Paul in the Bible, one day he was persecuting Christians, even had one of them stoned and stood around and did nothing. But the next day he was changed and he became a Christian and he gave his whole life to God. Could it be a one-day transformation for you? It could be. But you got to make that commitment. You got to realize that you are worthy. You are not worthless, according to God. Don't listen to what other people say. Listen to what God says about you. Put your trust and your faith in Him, because He loves you. Well, that again was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. We hope you'll join us sometime. Find out more about us and our free yard sale that's going on today on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. God bless you.